the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we enter this morning with earnest into the holy season of Lent. And you can always tell when we've begun Lent because we hear one of the accounts of Jesus and the devil, as Jesus is being driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. It seems like we go back and forth between Advent and Lent, talking about the baptism at the hand of John. And then, of course, in Advent, the story abruptly ends, and we don't hear about Jesus being driven out into the wilderness and the temptations. We pick that story up, of course, in Lent. But remember, Jesus, upon his baptism, was given that theophany, where God the Father spoke to him and said, "This is my beloved Son, I am well pleased with him." And so now he's ready to begin his ministry. He's beginning to begin the ministry that he has been given, and it's time for him to face some testing, if you will. Now, the word temptation in English has many different connotations. We can think of the singing group back in the 60s, remember the Temptations? Yeah, there we go, Craig's got it. That would be the Temptations. We can think of the temptations that we are tempted with in daily life and work. Rob and Karen Seidman brought some wonderful warm donuts this morning, and they were very, very tempting. So I took out a knife and cut off a tiny piece, and then Bob Saget ate the rest. So nothing went to waste. But temptations, in terms of the Greek word, and Pastor Ronnie's not here, but it's the 16-letter word, has to do more with testing rather than, as we would think, more of a test. And so Jesus is being, if you will, put to the test. And so he's driven out into the wilderness. Now, I think sometimes when we think wilderness, we think, you know, the Sahara Desert, or perhaps even Borrego Springs, you know, where there's basically nothing that grows or very little. But the wilderness that he would have been driven into was in the southern part of Jerusalem. And it wasn't terribly, terribly barren. There was enough vegetation and things when it rained so that the flocks could graze and you know, the people could make a subsistence living. So it wasn't like the Sahara with the sand blowing, but it certainly was a desolate place, and it was a place where he was alone. And it's there that the devil engages our Lord. And the devil begins the conversation. The devil says, Jesus has been out there for 40 days. And it mirrors the 40 years that the people of Israel spent in the wilderness as they wandered about. And actually, as we go through the temptations that the devil puts before the Lord, we can see parallels in terms of Deuteronomy and what Moses and the people of Israel faced, various temptations as well, and the way that they, as a community, as a group, tested the Lord as Jesus himself was being tested. And so what the devil is trying to do is to present his view of the world as he understood it. And so all the temptations are trying to draw Jesus out of the person who he is. And of course, we know who he is. We are told he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the chosen one. And so what the devil begins to do is to begin to put questions out there. Now, if is a wonderful word, but if can be very iffy. If can bring doubt, and if can bring possibility. If this, then that. If you are this, are you that? And so he begins to say to Jesus with each temptation, if you are the Son of God, the first temptation, command this stone to become bread. Now Jesus is hungry. You know, there were no In-N-Outs out there. There was no nothing. He was hungry. And so the devil says, you know, if you have these powers, if you are the Messiah, if you are the chosen one, if you are the divine one, then simply feed yourself. You know, take care of your needs. You know, in fact, don't make it bread. You know, make it a filet mignon with a baked potato loaded. You know, no, seriously, I mean, why stop at the bread thing? But what the devil is trying to do is, of course, what he tries to do with us. You know, doesn't that filet mignon with the loaded baked potato sound really pretty good right now? It kind of distract you from the thinking about the devil, doesn't it? I want that and not that. So it's the temptation to do that. And Jesus says to him, man does not live by bread alone. Man does not live by bread alone. And in Matthew's account of the temptations, he goes on to say, man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, about the word of the Lord. And so the parallel in Moses, with Moses and the people of Israel, you remember, after they were freed from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, they're tootling around in the desert for 40 years, and they're hungry. They don't have the cantaloupes and the cucumbers and the good food, and they can't sit around the flesh pots, whatever flesh pots are, and eat their fill. And so they start grumbling, and they say to Moses, you know, we're hungry, and, you know, God provides. He does not. He provides the manna in the wilderness, and they eat their fill. And, you know, Moses says to him, you know, this is not a good thing. You can't just think about satiating your stomach and your needs. It's more than carnal things. It's more than material things. You have to focus on God. And that's what exactly Jesus' response is to the devil. But it's curious to note that the devil knows Scripture as well. You know, the devil is a clever one. And we see this with the next temptation. And so he says to him, you know, he shows him in a moment of time all the nations of the world and all the power and all the authority and all the glory that comes around with it. And he says to Jesus, all this can be yours. You know, all of this can be yours. And the parallel with Moses is, prior to entering into the Holy Land, the Promised Land, Moses said to them, you know, remember, this is not simply about taking possession of the land, but it's about giving thanks to the God who gave you the land, who gave you the freedom, who gave you the grace, who gave you the love. And so the devil says, all these things are mine, and I can give them to whom I wish. Well, that was a lie. They weren't all his, but he thought they were all his. And that's even the greater temptation that he's giving to Jesus, is all this glory can be yours. All of these things can be yours. And now, because we changed the clocks back, I have to use my cheat sheet. I'm sorry. he says, show you all these kingdoms. And Jesus says, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You shall only serve the Lord your God. You know, all these things are not important. All that glory, all that authority, which would be given to Jesus in the end, is not for the devils to give. But that is the great deception. And then lastly, the third of the temptations, he takes him to the pinnacle of the temple, and he says, cast yourself down, for if you are the Son of God, again, if you are that divine being, you know, the angels will come and swoop in with their wings, and they will bear you up, and nothing will happen to you. And we hear that echoed, as we just read in Psalm 91, and Jesus says to him, it is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And then when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him. So the temptation in Moses, of course, was when they had no water. Remember, they were tootling through the desert, and the people were complaining, and they have no water to drink. And they're saying, you know, if God is this wonderful being that's taking care of us, why are we not being taken care of? Just like the manna in the wilderness. And so Moses has a little tete-a-tete with the Lord, and he tells Moses to strike the rock with his staff, and the water gushed out. That happened at Manasseh, at Meribah, that whole thing. But they were tempted to tempt God and say, you know, we don't put our full trust in you. You know, where are you right now? Where are you in the midst of all of this? And so Jesus said to the devil, you shall not tempt the Lord your God in terms of all those things. So then the devil decides, well, he's sort of done. Now, we don't know what the other tests were. We are told that there are other temptations. But for us, I think the temptation is in Lent is to act more, which is what we do, like the people of Israel. You know, they were trying to be faithful, right? They were faithful to God for a time, and then they fell away. That's kind of the way we live our lives, right? Because we're not perfect, right? Anyone's perfect here? I want to see, because you can come up and stand here. Because I'm not. None of us are perfect, you know? The temptation is to listen to that voice of the evil one saying, you know, you can do this all by yourself. You know, you don't need to pray. You don't need to read Scripture. You don't need to listen to anything I'm saying. You don't need to listen to anything because you can rely on yourself. You can rely on the material world. You can rely on those things that give you pleasure, whatever that is. You can rely on the food that you eat, whatever you drink, the games that you play. Those are the things that are important. Those are the things that will make you who you are. And that is an absolute falsehood and an absolute lie. But that is what the devil wants you to hear. The devil does not want you to hear that God calls us to a different place. God calls us to that place, as I said last week, that holiest place that Lent is, where we can surrender ourselves to God. And we cannot enter into those temptations, but rather know that we can put our whole faith and trust in the grace and mercy and the love of God. Our full trust and grace that we receive back from Him. And so the devil departs from a time, but we know the devil returns, right? The devil is always out there lurking. You know, there's that passage from St. Peter that the devil is lurking around like a roaring and ravenous lion, looking to devour our souls. But we are surrounded and we are protected by the grace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, died, and rose for us. And so when we face those tests, right? We all face the tests. When we face those temptations, whether it's the chocolate-covered donut or it's the I don't know whatever temptation it is, and we ask for protection, we ask for God's grace, we ask for God's help, the Lord always provides. We're never left alone. We may seem like we're in that place of wilderness from time to time, wandering hither to and fro, and God's not there, but He is. He is always there. It's simply for us to trust and to ask. And so as we remember the temptations of our Lord this morning in His tete-a-tete with the devil, let us remember also our weaknesses, our frailties, our infirmities, and surrender them to God, surrender them to the Lord Jesus, that He may take them and take us as His vessels and fill us with His grace and His mercy and His love, that we may always know that we are surrounded by that mercy and that grace and that love, no matter what circumstance, no matter what happens to us at any point in our lives, that when we put our trust in Him, there He is always for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.